Next matter before the court is 5-25-0309, Zeng et al. v. Illinois State Police. Mr. Unsel for the appellant, and Mr. Is it Horan?
It's Horan.
I'm sorry. All right. Are you prepared to proceed today?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, Mr. Unsel, if you want to step forward, and if you would please just state your name for the record.
Edward Unsel, on behalf of the appellant. May it please the court, counsel. And it simply becomes something sitting in the vault of the state police headquarters. And what happens to it is not my concern. That statement from the trial court in the companion case in Madison County set the stage for this. And I apologize, I thought we would argue Madison County first and then St. Clair County. I didn't realize until like 2 minutes ago we were arguing St. Clair County first. So, but that sets the stage, and it puts me, as I stated in my brief, a kind of the uncanny position that I am appealing to St. Clair County Judge Gamble's ruling, but I'm maintaining my main argument is that she didn't have jurisdiction. Jurisdiction stayed with the original court, which was Madison County.
That's, it was a little confusing reading the briefs up order as well. So
this is very interesting, and this will more than likely be my last appeal ever. And why?
So, Mr. Unsel, you filed in St. Clair County, though.
I did. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. And I did. Funny, based upon Judge Schrader's statement, I was so upset at that hearing. And that was his end of his statement. He just says, I'm washing my hands of this. And his statement that it's in the vault. So I'm driving back home. And I'm thinking, first of all, I'm thinking, how does he know it's in the vault? And if it is in the vault, this money was, the original seizure was done by Megza, an agent of the Illinois State Police. But not the state police, and I happen to know from practice and representing a couple of people that are in the hierarchy of MEGS, I just knowing where they are, they're not in Madison County. They're in St. Clair County. So if you, my original petition for injunction, and I was very upfront with Judge Campbell, I didn't have to, but I said, you know, they're saying that there's this claim in Missouri, all this is that, and in my original injunction, I said, I verily believe that it's in St. Clair County. She, quite honestly, when I went in there, she asked me, do you know? I said, I do not know for sure. I verily believe it. If I would have never went through this effort and filed it, but this is where I'm at. The Madison County judge has washed his hands of it. The forfeiture statute mandates not only that the judge direct dispose of property, and shall dispose of property, but he's refused to do it. It also mandates that the state police turn it over to the claimants within no later than 7 days. So I will be irreparably harmed if they transfer it, which it will be an abrogation of the forfeiture statute.
Seven days after what, though? 7 days after what?
After the dismissal of the forfeiture action.
Is that what the statute says? Does it require there to be some type of a ruling?
No, it does not require. The statute is dismissal. It's section 9. It is dismissal. Basically, what the statute says is that if they do not proceed, if they fail to proceed or do not win the forfeiture action, then it has to be returned. And it says in the statute that the court shall dispose of it. So yes, it clearly directs the court to dispose. Every case that I have cited, that's it. It can't be in limbo like that. It just can't. I cited a U.S. Supreme Court case where it was the reverse in my brief, where it was a search warrant first and then a forfeiture. It just, there is no case that counsel has cited that says that. In fact, in the Madison County brief, it is acknowledged that the court retains jurisdiction.
But you filed a CH case, correct, in St. Clair County?
I did.
So what about this notion that the briefing says that it's in personam jurisdiction, not in rem jurisdiction? What, I mean...
Oh, well, the last, you're right, the last paragraph in their brief states, well, you don't have, the property's not there, it's in Missouri, you don't have jurisdiction because we've already removed the property. Well, Clyde, can't think of his last name, Clyde from Missouri, showed up at the hearing on April the 3rd in front of Judge Campbell. So he showed up, asked the court, he invoked the equitable powers of the court. So to sit here and say, well, now that it's moved, you don't have jurisdiction. That's the whole point of the forfeiture statute. That's why, think about this. You're depriving, you're taking somebody's property, and it's presumed their property because of the possession. The Illinois Constitution, the U.S. Supreme Court, you cannot do that without due process. So...
But your argument, though, is the due process belongs in Madison County. So the St. Clair was essentially a forced act for you.
It was because I verily believed and was correct that it was not in Madison County. The race was not in Madison County. The money was in St. Clair County, or they would have responded and said, sorry, you can't.
So, Mr. Austin, what's the remedy in this case, in this specific matter, the CH case that we're dealing with at present?
Well, if you determine that she didn't have jurisdiction, then that's the remedy. You just say you didn't have a jurisdiction to do it. It's got to go back to the court of original jurisdiction in Madison County. If you determine that there is jurisdiction, then you have to analyze it on what exactly was done. Now keep in mind that she found that the injunction was valid. She found that I would be that the claimants would be irreparably harmed, that there was a likelihood of success. She found the four elements and entered the temporary injunction and said, we're going to set this over.
But she didn't enter a permanent injunction.
No, she set it over for everybody to weigh in. On the morning of the weigh in, with no notice to claimants, nothing, Missouri shows up with a search warrant to a sister judge and gets it entered. Then Judge Campbell, she feels, well, I have to honor that. Well, that's not the law. And I cited the cases in my brief. If you find that she did have jurisdiction, then you could not have attacked her injunction. If she has jurisdiction, then you have to order that money is returned pursuant to her original injunction. The search warrant on its face patently is invalid. I mean, think about this. And it's in the file. This money was taken, wrongfully taken, and admittedly wrongfully taken in Madison County because they failed to proceed on the criminal, and then the very next day they backed off of the forfeiture. They're saying, we're not having anything to do with this. Okay? So, think about this. The money was taken in June. In July, supposedly, two other Chinese couples says, oh, wait a minute. We gave some money, and we haven't heard from them. So, CA reached back to the intermediary and said, sorry, we don't have it. It was taken. Less than 2 hours. Callaway County's 2 hours from here. Now, what's also in the record, but we didn't brief, was the claimants were stopped before this happened. They were stopped by Megzai, who ended up with the money, and turned loose. They go, I assume, to the couple's house. They're voluntarily given the money. Of record, we voluntarily gave them the money to invest in cryptocurrency. And then 2 hours later, they're grabbed again, this time by the state police, at the direction of Megzai. And that's what brings us here. Now, the curious thing that I have, assume all those is correct. I find it absurd with this Chinese couple, but let's assume that all that is correct. And it is their money. They gave it them to be invested. And then there's an unconstitutional stop. They've inquired. They've not told anything to do. They've not given notice about it. Months go by. And I did the math on the internet. There's two major crypto investment companies. If it would have been invested on June 25th or the next day, June the 26th, on the day that we had the hearing on April 3rd, that money would have been worth $2.4 million. It just so happened that during that interim, that's where it went up.
If we pretty assume that Madison County never lost jurisdiction over the property.
I believe that is the law, sir.
Is there anything that was done in St. Clair County, anything that could undermine the jurisdiction of the court of Madison County? Over the property.
That could undermine it. No, I mean, I'm left with a void order from a judge in Madison County that refused to do statutorily what he was required to do. And he was required to dispose of the money. At the same time, the state police's own directive says that if they don't prevail on the forfeiture, they have to turn the money over immediately, no longer than 7 days. So, but I know that the money's in St. Clair. So, and honestly, if I would have thought that it was in Madison County, I might have civilly tried to get a Madison County judge to have done the same thing.
Well, I mean, for our purposes, they were supposed to do something with this appeal from the St. Clair County Court.
No, I know. Maybe that's why you did this first. I mean, I think the honest, valid argument is that she didn't have jurisdiction. That jurisdictionally...
So the appeal should be dismissed.
And all subsequent orders would be void. Any orders out of St. Clair County would then be void.
Right, and then you rule on the Madison County case, and they've acknowledged that that court still had jurisdiction.
I mean, yeah, the briefing is contradictory from the AG's office versus the state appellate.
It's
a little confusing for this court.
So essentially,
if we go back to Madison County, then we address this issue in the next appeal, is what I'm...
Yes, which was the first appeal. But if you do fine, I mean, there isn't any law. I mean, possession isn't not 9/10. You can't... Since that court, since Madison County, under the forfeiture statute, and all the Urea Supreme Court, and all the cases that support that, it did not lose jurisdiction. But if you did find that because it was moved to St. Clair County, because the race was moved to St. Clair County, that somehow that conferred jurisdiction, then you would order it.
That is my understanding that regardless of the location of the race, the Madison County Court still maintains jurisdiction, at least as stipulated by Mr. Marshall there. Yeah,
yes. Madison County retains jurisdiction. The Judge Schroeder's saying that I'm washing my hands of this, that was incorrect. Clearly incorrect.
All right.
But I'll argue that one. Thank you.
Any further questions? No, you have time on rebuttal, Mr. Onslow. You have time on rebuttal. All right, and counsel, if you would state your name for the record.
Yes. Good morning. May it please the court,
counsel,
Assistant Attorney General Sam Horan, for Defendant Appellee, the Illinois State Police, or ISP. The Circuit Court properly rejected plaintiff's request for a permanent injunction awarding them the currency at issue. Plaintiffs advanced three arguments for reversal or vacater, but none is persuasive. The Circuit Court had in personam jurisdiction over ISP. There was no conflict between the search warrant and the Circuit Court's TRO. And the Circuit Court's decision was not against the manifest weight of the evidence.
Can we talk about the jurisdiction issue? Obviously, that's what we're all focused on.
Certainly, Your Honor.
So would you concede that if the court of Madison County never lost jurisdiction over the property, then whatever happened in St. Clair's got to go?
No, Your Honor. So plaintiff's argument, as I understand it, is that two courts cannot exercise in rem jurisdiction at the same time, but this just wasn't an in rem action. Plaintiff's brought an in personam action against ISP. Not an in rem action could be against the currency itself, as the Illinois Supreme Court explained in ABNM.
But the next case is the People XRL Payne versus the 2000 Lexus RX. It is the res. It is the item that is a dispute.
Well, Your Honor, we don't dispute that the first case, the Madison County case, was an in rem action. That's true. Our point is that regardless of whether that court still has in rem jurisdiction, whatever the right answer is.
So we have dueling jurisdiction?
Well, we have in personam jurisdiction over ISP, which is different from in rem jurisdiction, as this court explained in Marriage of Philly.
When a court except has the St. Clair County Court is directing what happens to the property.
Well, the St. Clair County Court, they requested that it direct what happened to the property. The St. Clair County Court refused a permanent injunction.
Well, in Mr. Rounds' defense, he didn't have a lot of choice after the Madison County Court refused to address the issue.
Well, I think he actually had remedies in Madison County. He could A, have moved for reconsideration or moved for a stay pending appeal. If that's the usual remedy if you believe the circuit court has made an error. Your remedy is not to file a collateral action in a separate circuit court, which doesn't have jurisdiction or authority to review what the Madison County Court did. As this court explained in Oliver, and I use the word jurisdiction, I actually, Oliver said not jurisdiction, Oliver said authority. So I don't think it's really relevant to this case whether there could have been a second in rem action, because this court explained in Marriage of Prilly that as long as the court has in personam jurisdiction, it doesn't need an in rem action.
So what are we supposed to do with this particular appeal from St. Clair County?
Well, Your Honor, I think there are two options that I, the first would be if the court, first as a practical matter, as we explained on page 20 of our brief, the currency is now in Missouri, is in the possession of a separate sovereign over which this court and the circuit court don't have jurisdiction. So we actually think the appeal is probably moot.
Well, but technically, and you may not have seen the briefing of SAP, where they basically say that Madison County still has jurisdiction, though, regardless of where the money is.
Well, that would be Madison County. We're talking about the St. Clair action. We don't think there's any jurisdiction that the St. Clair court has to order the property returned now because it has left the state. Because
so then you would agree that it would be dismissed, but for a different reason, because you no longer have the money either. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
We think that the appeal, not the circuit court action, the appeal is moot because the currency has left the state. It is in the possession of a separate sovereign, and that's what this court discussed in a state of Medlin. There, the court said the court didn't have jurisdiction to order the exhumation of a body in West Virginia, in the same way the court didn't have jurisdiction to order the return of currency that is in the possession of a separate sovereign.
But how do you order the currency moot and then say it's then moot? I mean, what remedy does that afford the plaintiff then?
Well, I mean, two remedies. I mean, first, they can move for a state pending appeal, but second, they have the ordinary remedy of any party whose property has been seized pursuant to a search warrant, which is to move to suppress in the criminal proceeding in Missouri, which is ongoing, and they've never explained why that isn't an adequate remedy.
And that may be an adequate remedy, but I'm still just trying to sort out what to do with the St. Clair County case.
So you're right. I think the two decisions are, I think as a practical matter, this appeal is moved. So we would suggest dismissal is moved. Second, if the court doesn't agree on the mootness point, we would say the court should affirm. As I discussed, the court had in personam jurisdiction over ISP, so the jurisdictional argument about continuing in rem jurisdiction, we think is neither here nor there. And that's the state of the law.
So we all agree we dismiss. It's just a matter of how we dismiss.
Well, I think...
You say dismiss is moot, he says dismiss.
I think we are dismiss the appeal as moot. I think he's saying, he was saying vacate rather than dismiss. We're saying dismiss the appeal as moot. I do want to quickly, if I can, address his other arguments. So sort of the second argument in their briefing is that there is some kind of conflict between the search warrant and the circuit court's TRO. That's not accurate. The TRO required only that the property remain in St. Clair County until the April 3rd hearing.
Well, let me back up for a minute. He's not appealing the search warrant.
Correct. And then,
so the search warrant stands regardless.
I agree,
Your Honor.
And I'm going to get there, but you've anticipated. I think that's true. He's not appealed.
He's appealing the decision in the CH case, is my understanding.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I understand his argument to be that because the search warrant was invalid in his view, you don't agree.
But we're not going to take a position on that because it's not before this court.
So, and he argues that in some way affects what the circuit court should have done here. But there was no conflict. The search warrant didn't require investigators to immediately seize the currency before the hearing. It didn't require them to take it out of St. Clair County. It was entirely possible to implement both the search warrant and the TRO, as in fact happened. So this is nothing like plaintiff's leading authority for this argument, which is State v. Pena, where two courts, I mean, in addition to addressing Colorado law, two courts issued directly contradictory orders to the same party. One court literally told that party, do not follow this other court's order. That's not the situation we have here. It was entirely possible to implement both the search warrant and the TRO, as in fact happened. And as Your Honor just mentioned, you know, if they think there's a problem with the search warrant, this is not the forum in which to challenge it. The remedy would be a motion to suppress in Missouri, which plaintiffs could file at any time. They're free to do that. But that's not something in which ISP is involved. Third, the circuit court's order on the merits was not against the manifest weight of the evidence. Plaintiffs hinted a few different merits theories, but none required the circuit court to order return of the currency. They primarily focused on the money laundering forfeiture statute, 720 ISCS 529B, but it doesn't provide a basis for relief for several reasons. First of all, the statute contemplates retaining seized property until it's no longer needed for evidence. That's in section 19 we cited in our brief. I
just want you to slow down there. So you're saying under the forfeiture action in the other case necessarily that there is no 7 days, there's no magical time frame. Is that correct?
Well, that was going to be my next point, Your Honor. So they cited section 13 of the forfeiture statute, which they say they claim required the Madison County Court to issue an order, but as I think Justice Clark was getting at, the Madison County Court didn't issue that order, and the provision that they're really relying on, section 25, that says the property shall be returned within 7 days of the order, is inapplicable because there was no order. And to be sure, they think there should have been an order. But if they think, again, if they think there was an error in Madison County, their remedy was a motion for reconsideration in Madison County or a motion for a stay pending appeal in Madison County. They could have filed either of those, either before filing this action or while the TRO was in effect, and they didn't do so. Instead, they asked the circuit court in St. Clair County, effectively, to review the work of the Madison County Court, which it couldn't do, as this court explained in Oliver. Plaintiffs also referenced, in their briefing at least, an ISP directive discussing the disposition of property after forfeiture actions are dismissed. That directive requires notice to the purported owner within 7 days of the dismissal. Before that period had even run here, plaintiffs had already obtained the TRO in this case. Nor does the directive purport to address a situation like this one, where a search warrant entitles a different party to the property. Plaintiffs also reference due process, but they don't cite any relevant authority, nor could they. As we've been discussing, plaintiffs had access to ample process. If they think there was a problem in Madison County, they could have moved for reconsideration or a stay in that case. If they think there was a problem with a search warrant, they could move to suppress in Missouri, as the circuit court recognized, for example, at page 10 of the report of proceedings. And as I mentioned, ultimately, they are in the same position as any other criminal defendant whose property has been seized as evidence, and they've never explained why Missouri's process would be inadequate. I'll just add, you know, I think today counsel started his presentation with a quote from the Madison County Court, and I think that sort of crystallizes that their real quarrel is with Madison County, is in the Madison County proceeding. It's not in this proceeding against ISP. And then, again, I just want to mention, sort of reiterate the mootness point. Even if plaintiffs think there was some error, there's no effectual relief that the circuit court or this court could order in this case. So this case is likely moot. They seek an injunction ordering ISP to give them a specific collection of U.S. currency, a specific physical item. ISP does not have that item because pursuant to the search warrant and the circuit court's order in this case, it has transferred that currency to Missouri. As the state of Medlin explained, the circuit court nor this court has jurisdiction to enter an injunction against authorities in Missouri. The only response plaintiffs offered in their brief was that the state of Missouri somehow became subject to the circuit court's jurisdiction because a lawyer from the AG's office...
I'm going to interrupt you, so bear with me for a moment. Mm-hmm. Assume for a moment that we find that the court in St. Clair County in the CH case have no jurisdiction. Then in terms of direction for ISP, nothing changes, whether it's moot or there's no jurisdiction, because the search warrant had directed those funds to be returned to Missouri, correct?
I think that's true.
So it doesn't change the outcome necessarily.
I don't think it changes the outcome in terms of the facts on the ground. I think it makes
simply,
a difference. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just simply it's another way to skin the cat.
I think it makes a difference to sort of the disposition of the appeal. And again, I think the proper disposition, if the court finds there's no jurisdiction, I think the reason for that is that the currency is in Missouri. and ISP cannot access it. It's not that the circuit court lacked in personam jurisdiction. Again, this court's been clear, for example, in the state of Krillick, that the two requirements for jurisdiction are subject matter jurisdiction and personal jurisdiction. The court certainly had personal jurisdiction over ISP. It's subject to general personal jurisdiction in Illinois, and plaintiffs waived any personal jurisdiction argument by bringing this case and asserting that the court had jurisdiction. And the court had subject matter jurisdiction. Circuit courts have supports of general subject matter jurisdiction. The plaintiffs suggested on page 4 of their reply brief that in rem jurisdiction is subject matter jurisdictional, but that's just not accurate. This court said in marriage of Krillick, it is the equivalent of personal jurisdiction for actions against property. So again, the question whether the Madison County Court had continuing in rem jurisdiction, I think, is an interesting question for the next appeal, but I don't think it's relevant to this one. Because regardless of what the right answer is, the court had the necessary jurisdiction. That said, courts no longer have jurisdiction over this appeal because it has become moot because the property is in Missouri. And just to quickly return to the point that, to the mootness point, you know, as I mentioned, they argue that the state of Missouri somehow became subject to the circuit court's jurisdiction by having someone attend the hearing in this case. But they cite no authority for the proposition that a non-party somehow subjects itself to a circuit court's jurisdiction merely by having a representative attend the hearing. And on the contrary, counsel for amici curiae often attend hearings to explain their client's interest in a case, and that doesn't mean they all become subject to potential injunctive relief. And regardless, Missouri isn't here. The only defendant and appellee in this appeal, the only party that plaintiffs are seeking relief against, is the Illinois State Police. Plaintiffs didn't seek to amend their complaint to add any Missouri entity as a defendant, and they don't argue that there's anything ISP can do to remedy their injuries. So there's no effectual relief that the circuit court or this court could order, and that means the appeal is moot. So for that reason, and not the in rem jurisdiction issue, that's why we would say the appeal is moot and outside the court's jurisdiction. And I do want to just briefly add, I think I heard opposing counsel suggest, though he conceded it was not in the briefs, that the underlying stop was somehow unconstitutional. I don't think there's any support in the record for that. They certainly haven't explained that position at all, and I think they forfeited it by not raising it until a few moments ago at oral argument. Unless the court has any other questions.
No, thank you.
The Illinois State Police respectfully requests that this court either dismiss the appeal as moot or affirm the judgment of the circuit court.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mr. Ronsell, rebuttal.
You know, I mean, think about it. They want it both ways. They can't, the search warrant, the proper ruling for, I believe here, is that Stacey Campbell did not have jurisdiction and her order allowing the search warrant and vacating the temporary restraining order, that should be reversed.
But, Mr. Ronsell, you're not appealing the search warrant. I mean, you haven't...
I can't appeal.
I know.
I would love to.
But, I mean, that's not... The search warrant itself is not under the purview of this court in this appeal. You agree with me?
It is because it was entered by a co-equal judge within the county that asserted jurisdiction. It was entered there, and she wrongfully gave it credence. The law is clear. When you have to...
But this court doesn't have the power to undo that search warrant in this case. You would agree with that?
Well, you indirectly you do because you vacate her order transferring the property. Yes. Yes, you do. You say, Stacey, you didn't have jurisdiction. So we're going to vacate your order. We're going to send it back there, and that renders the search warrant null and void. And I didn't really want to get into it, but think about this practically. I'm there April the 3rd. I walk in the morning to argue the injunctions part of it. And everybody and their brothers there. I mean, Madison County's there. They've already acknowledged we don't have any interest in this. We're going to wash our hands. Well, we have the state's attorney there. We have the attorney general from Missouri we have there. That is where the impersonal jurisdiction comes in. They had the detective, the gal Stacy, and they had Clyde from the attorney general's office. They come there and they said, we want that money. And we're not a party.
But we all agree they're not a party here.
Well, no, but to say that you can't order that money returned because it's already there. That's the whole reason I went in for the injunction. to prevent that from happening.
But isn't your remedy to suggest that the Illinois State Police did something wrong and therefore they should pony up the equivalent of what went wrong?
Who do you give the equivalent of? Pay us?
Money.
Pay us the money. Well, you know,
pay us the money. That's banished from your custody under wrongful circumstances.
Well, I know, and this court's not aware. There is a pending court of claims claim that I have filed stating that very same thing. I believe it's been stayed or about to be stayed because of you all. You're right. Yes, absolutely. Yes, and that has been done. I can't file a lawsuit. I have to do it through the court of claims, but that's been done. Absolutely. That's a motion. But as far as this in St. Clair County, she didn't have the jurisdiction. So you vacate that order and you order that it be returned. And then I don't see what you're doing with the Madison County case. Any other questions, sir?
No, thank you.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you momentarily on the next one. Thank you very much. We will issue an order in this matter in due course. And, of course, the next matter will be related as well. I'm assuming we'll issue two orders in due course.
Yeah.